Hello there. Welcome to another episode of Getting Social with Miriam. It is always so wonderful to have you along. And today's topic is going to be about authority marketing, because my guest today, his name is Jeff Beal. He is an authority marketing strategist. He's also a best-selling author, and he helps businesses leverage their knowledge to gain authority status in their industry, then uses authority marketing to generate higher converting leads. So Jeff will tell you exactly how you can share your message by utilizing social-rich media to attract massive social exposure. He'll also show you how to leverage this exposure to get more traffic, leads, and sales for your business. And Jeff's unique marketing method has been talked about and covered on Wall Street Journal, ABC, CBS, Fox, and so many other media outlets. Also, his marketing insights have helped companies such as Turner Broadcast, The Home Depot, Apartment Guide, AT&T, and many others as well. Jeff provides a practical approach that is easy to understand from the high-level executive to the practicing technician. He understands that the language in boardroom is different than on the floor and can speak as a translator to both levels within organizations. And Jeff can also provide cases on how companies have utilized the four C's of authority marketing to establish trust in the marketplace and move up in the market share. He'll also provide step-by-step procedure that anyone can follow to achieve similar results. And he is also a demand speaker who's traveled the world entertaining and educating audiences. So I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Jeff Beal. Hello, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Miriam?
I'm doing great. Thank you. So I have so many questions to ask. Wow. So firstly, before we really get into anything, I just want to know exactly how you got into the field you're in and how you discovered authority marketing.
Okay, great. Well, I started off in marketing. I was marketing several different companies, and one thing I was looking at the time was what made certain companies more of an authority in the industry than others. And I was working in SEO, so of course it's becoming first on Google, and whoever is first in those search results automatically are authority. So
right.
It doesn't matter if they are, if they're not, it's just a perception. So that's what I noticed. It's actually more of a perception of an authority than someone has a superior product or somebody has a superior service. So I started analyzing a little bit more of what makes a company an authority, what sources make or have influence on the audience more than others. And that's how I got into the authority marketing side. Now, I didn't originate authority marketing. Actually, my mentors, Brian Horn and Jack Mize, mentored me in what authority marketing was. But what I did do was put my own methodology, or what I call marketology, toward it. So I have my own unique approach to the market of authority marketing. And what I found is no matter the size of your company, you can become an authority in your industry.
Okay, I like that. That's beautiful. You know, it's interesting because I focus a lot on social media marketing and influence marketing, and I pretty much had the same kind of story. You know, I got into SEO at first, and then, as we know, SEO is completely different, if you will.
It's yes.
Not the same like it used to be, that's for sure. Some would even dare to say it's dead. But I don't
no,
think it's...
Never
no,
never did.
It's not dead. It's not dead. It's just transformed, you know? Which, you know, means death in itself, but that's a whole other discussion, and that's not even relevant. But the point is that it's just interesting how we've evolved into this. So now that we're on to authority marketing, I'd like to know what the four C's of authority marketing is. I mean, I do know what it is, but a lot of my listeners don't.
Sure. Well, there's four C's of authority marketing, and they all work together, but you focus on them in this pattern to help create the authority. So the first thing will be content. That's the foundation. You have to have good quality content, and you have to have your own point of view. Thought leaders are only thought leaders because they think for themselves. Mm-hmm. They're not yes men. And that's one of the things that you see a lot of, everyone agreeing with everyone else and everyone pretty much going along for the ride. But
right.
as an authority, you have your own point of view, and that's what's valued. So you have to have
right.
strong content. The
yes,
second
content,
thing.
Content is king, yes.
Yes, it is. Content okay. is king. The next thing would be contacts. It's the old saying of it's not what you know, it's who you know, or
mm-hmm.
you are strong as your closest five. That's really important to know, that the certain contacts that you have and the influencers, if you can have those contacts and influencers state that you're an authority or you're good at what you do,
mm-hmm.
then you automatically have some credibility there. It's the old
yeah.
word of mouth marketing. So having a strong contact base is important for your company to build authority. Now, the next
okay.
one would be communication. Now, this is funny. It's like the story that was told about the musician that was the best musician in the world, and he was in heaven, and they said, well, I've never heard of him. And it's because he never actually played for anybody. But he was always the best musician in the world. It's the same thing. If you have great content and you have the contacts but you don't communicate with anyone, then it doesn't even matter. And that's
yeah,
where,
true.
Like you were saying, yeah, the mm-hmm. social media,
yeah.
press, there's a lot of ways to communicate, but you have to communicate.
Yeah.
That's the third C. That's very important. And then the last one is where the majority of companies fail. And we'll have a drum roll
yep.
because the majority of companies fail here. Consistency. They put
very
out one
true.
Good post, yeah, and they leave it alone for a long period of time. And it's sort of like momentum. They build the momentum with the great post, and then all of a sudden it just dies off because they haven't fed their audience with more and more to make them more and more of the authority. So consistency.
Right.
And that's the four C's.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Now, there are a lot of similarities between authority marketing and influence marketing. Could you tell us what
mm-hmm.
the differences are?
I would say authority marketing is more of positioning yourself in a way that the audience feels that you're an authority, whether you're actually in front of them or not.
Okay.
More of influence marketing is more you're influencing them a certain way. So you're consistently in front of them, you're influencing them to think a certain way. But the minute that you step away, the mm-hmm. influence usually dies down. Now, it goes
okay.
back to what I said about consistency. But once you become an authority at a certain point, you don't have to be as consistent because you're already that. For instance, in the beverage industry,
mm-hmm.
Coca-Cola could probably not put out an ad for the entire year, and they'll
mm-hmm.
still be considered the authority in the beverage industry. And it's just because they've already built that authority. Now, if they were an influencer, like let's say someone new to the market that just
mm-hmm.
came, and they've actually influenced, for instance, let's say the new thing, the LeBron Sprite is out. That's more
yep.
of influence. They're influencing people to buy the Sprite. Now, Sprite's been out for a long time, but this LeBron's brand isn't. And the minute they stop influencing people that the lemon, lime, orange, cherry flavor is the flavor to drink, it's going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
But the brand, the Sprite brand, is already an authority. So
right.
I think that's really the difference.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. I see. So I'd like to know, too, I'd like to know what you've written, because you know they say you're
mm-hmm.
a bestseller. Could you tell us about the books you've written?
Well, actually, I have one book on the market, and it's called Influencer Breakthrough.
Okay.
And this book actually talks about how to become an influencer, not only in the industry, but also within your organization.
Okay.
One of the things that I've realized, the boardroom and the actual floor don't speak the same language. They don't understand each other. And so sometimes you have to actually be an influencer within your organization in order to get the direction that you're looking for to be an influencer outside in the industry. And so that's really what that book talks about, is how to set up a marketing campaign and be an influencer inside and out.
Oh, okay, okay. That's really, really good. I mean, I think that's quite valuable. And it was a bestseller, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, on Amazon, yes.
That's great. That's great. So I'd like to know as well, now you were also talking about somewhere that there are 6 ways to obtain influencer referrals. So I'd like to know more about how you can do that. Like, what are the 6 ways?
Well, to get influencer referral, one way would be to, of course, create some sort of dynamic content that just sticks, and it influences people in order to look at your brand in an authoritaristic way. So the one way would be to have that kind of content, and that content isn't just an article or press about this is my company and what we provide, but it's actually industry specific. It talks to the need of the industry. Now, that's one way. Yeah. The second would go to actually leveraging contacts. So let's say in your industry you have some authority figures in your industry, and you can leverage those contacts in order to become an authority. So, for instance, if I was in the real estate market, and I'm new to the real estate market, but I'm at a convention, and Donald Trump introduces me as the next best thing, instantly authority.
Yep.
I have nothing to prove. It's really off of the strength of his reputation.
Right.
So
that's
the second way. Yeah, that's the second way. Third way would be, if you're trying to influence the market, you want to be that voice of the people. Now, what I mean by that is you want to talk the language that they understand.
Right.
And that influences them. A lot of times companies, they talk jargon, they talk their industry speak in a sense. So, for instance, we'll use something that everybody knows, tech industry. You're talking to a tech head, and the tech head's talking all the tech jargon, and the jokes only the techies know, and so forth. Well, if their audience are non-tech, they're not going to get it. So you want to talk the audience people and find out where they're talking. They may not be talking on Snapchat because that's fairly new. You may want to go to Twitter, Facebook, so forth, but you want to talk the language where they're talking it. And that's another way of becoming an influencer, because you're down to earth and, you know, you're looking at that.
Yes. And that's what I was going to say, too. This is where social media really, really comes in. That's why I actually stressed to so many clients and just to business owners in general to utilize social media the best way they can, keep creating good quality content, sharing good quality content. I mean, that's the other thing, too. You want to make sure that whatever you're sharing is going to be not only relevant to what you're about, but you want to be engaging. You know, there's that 80-20 rule. I think 80% of the content you share should be niche-related, and 20% should be engaging, and you have to be careful with what you share, too. So, well, that's the other thing. One slip-up that you make, that can ruin any kind of authority you have.
That's true, because the higher up you get in authority, the more people are listening.
Yeah,
and not everybody's listening in a cheerleader fashion. So some people are waiting for you to say the wrong thing, or you know. So yeah, that's something that you have to be very cognizant of. And social media is a perfect tool for that, for getting the message out. Well, I wouldn't say perfect. It's one of the best. Nothing's perfect, but it is one of the best. And knowing how to actually utilize social media You know, I recommend any company that's looking at utilizing social media to first step back and listen and then start to go forward. You know, the first thing that we like to do is we like to go ahead and put our message out there. And our message sounds like marketing messages and sales pitches, really. And we bombard the market with our point of view in a sales tone. And a lot of times in social media, that's not received because people on social media are selfish. And I mean that in the best way.
They are. Yes. Yeah.
I mean that in the best way, but they are. They want to know what's in it for them, what interests them. They're not interested in having a commercial come across their screen. So you would have to find out the voice of the people. You find out what they're interested in. You find out how they communicate with each other. Some like to put out quotes and motivate. Some like jokes. You know, some videos, but you find that out. So step back. That's the first thing. Step back and just listen. And then the second thing, go ahead, Miriam.
No, I was going to say quotes is a huge thing. People are very receptive to quotes. But yeah,
Yeah. And then the next thing, I would say find either a mentor, coach, consultant. Find somebody that has a little bit of experience and leverage their knowledge. It'll help with a lot of the speed bumps in the road. And I'm not saying this to help all the consultants out here and service providers get new business. That's not the reason. But they're up on the changes. They're up on they've tried things, and they can tell you what works and what doesn't. And I'm going to be honest with you. Find ones that can tell you what works and what doesn't, because those that say I only know what works aren't trying anything. You're gonna fail sometimes. You are. My biggest failure, automation. I love automation. I preach automation. I evangelize automation. It will help your business grow. But if you don't do it correctly, like you say, you can have those slip ups. And I'm gonna be honest, you probably will have those slip ups. But you want to minimize the risk, because automation is a trial and error type of approach, because until you get it right, those messages that automatically go out, you know, you don't know if they're going to be received well or not until you keep trying new ones and you find out which ones are received and which ones aren't. So I was putting out quotes, and quotes are very well received.
Oh, yes.
But I also was putting them out very frequently on certain channels, and I have some accountability partners. I would say Scott, shout out to Scott Nichols, he's my man, that will call me on it and say, hey man, you put out 6 quotes today. There's nobody that inspired.
No.
And so you scale back. You say, okay, well maybe let me put out 2. I'll put out 1 in the morning, and I put out 1 in the evening. But then you start looking at your analytic and you find out, okay, they like it. I'm getting retweets. I'm getting favorites. I'm getting replies. This is working. And that's what I mean by finding yourself somebody to help coach you through.
Important.
Because, it'll help a lot of headache versus you putting out a bunch of blasts and you haven't really, you know, experienced it. So to you it makes sense. And then all of a sudden, you put out something and get a backlash, and now you're doing damage control.
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing, too, and then you bring up a really good point, because too much of even a good thing is not so good, after all.
Yeah, it isn't.
Mm-hmm. So that's very important to know. And, I mean, I have taught this to so many clients, and I've taught this to just so many business owners in general. It's not just the type of content you put out that you have to be mindful of. It's how often. Even if it's, like, wonderful content that really, like, that just inspires people. Like you said, like, quotes are just really good quality content. If you're doing it 10 times a day, no one's going to be interested anymore, and people are going to say, whoa, 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 this is just too much.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It becomes noise. Yeah.
It becomes noise. That's a great way of putting it. And, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And you know what? You do need an accountability partner, and you just need to learn how to fine-tune. And it's okay. I mean, we're not going to get it right on the first try, like you said. You know,
yeah,
we're going to fail. It's just it's part of success. It's
and that's
not the
interesting. Yeah.
It's not the opposite of success. It's part of it.
That's the interesting thing that I had to learn. And it took me some time to learn it because in nature you don't want to fail.
That's
but
right.
The best marketers out there don't look at failing until you quit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not failing. It's actually just a part of the process and you're learning.
That's
and,
right.
And that's really, if you take that approach that, hey, we're learning through this and it's not a failure until I quit, then it helps you get through it because there's going to be, in marketing, there's going to be campaigns that just don't work. And, you know, early on in my career, I would be devastated by it. Oh, early on in my career, I was there.
Sure.
Oh, everyone has to work. Every one of them have to work. They just, you know, and you, you know, get those calls. What just happened? And you'd be, oh, I'm flustered. But now, it's like, look, I'm going to let you know up front. We're going to test some things. Some will work. Some won't. Now, based on the research that we've done, the due diligence up front, we minimize the risk. And that's the key. You just want to minimize the risk. We minimize the risk because we know your audience. We sit back, we listen, we know what they're looking for. So most likely everything's going to be fine. But I want to set expectations to let you know that some of this might change. For instance, something was trendy, and now it's not the trend anymore. And if you hung your hat on that trend, it's not going to work moving forward. And so, you know, you just, like they say in the old saying, the live and learn. You just live and learn.
You do. You do. And it's interesting. You know, I think any of us, when we are early on, when we're just starting something out, we have all these high expectations. Oh, I'm going to be successful in such a short time. And then I think that's why whenever – you know, you experience failure, which is going to be inevitable, it's so heartbreaking, you know. It kind of bursts your bubble because the fact is you need to be prepared that it's not going to be right away. Success isn't going to happen right away. You're going to have to go through all kinds of learning curves. And that's why I like some of those posts that some have been sharing about the truth about success. People view it as just a straight uphill climb where you see it's really opposite of that. The reality is, you know, they show this is how you view success. You view someone successful, they just keep going up and up and up and up, where the reality is they may go up a little bit and then fall, like they may plummet down and then they go straight and then they go up again and then, you know, so that's what the reality is. So it's good to put that out there.
And just to look at some of the greats that are out there, we talk about Thomas Edison, how many times he failed. You know, some say 10,000 times before he actually perfected.
Right.
You know, that's a lot of failure.
That sure is.
I think the one that I look at is Abraham Lincoln. You know, when I read his bio and they were saying about how he had failed, I think it was like 22 jobs. I mean, 22 businesses. Who you know, failed 22 businesses?
Wow.
But he failed all these businesses and all these tries to get into office and so forth until he finally became one of the most historic presidents, you know, that we have. But we don't look at the failures before. Nobody can name one time Thomas Edison failed. Because once you do succeed, once you get your rhythm, nobody remembers that. And that's what you need to keep reminding yourself when you're starting to go through some of the hard times that, hey, this campaign might not have worked. But nobody's going to remember this campaign once we do find the one that does work. And so that's really what it's all about.
Very, very true, and that's the trick. Okay, we are almost out of time, Jeff, but what I'd like to know and what my listeners would like to know is how you can be contacted and reached just share whatever you have, website, social media links, anything.
Sure. Just remember, Mr. Marketology is MrMarketology. And that's the website, MrMarketology.com. That's the Twitter handle. That's the YouTube handle, Instagram handle,
wow,
Facebook handle. So the brand is there, even the Google Plus handle. So Mr. Marketology,
great.
If you search for that or put that at the end of any of the URLs, I can be found.
Perfect.
And
well,
if anyone needs to call and just wants some advice, my number is 770-852-0623.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Jeff. This was great. This was very insightful, and I even learned a few things from this. So I do thank you for coming on, and you have yourself a great day. Everybody, you be well, and talk to you next week. Bye for now.